Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal. Wa na'udhu billahi min hali ahli an-nar. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad an-nabiy al-ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Mawla ya salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khayril khalqi kullihim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح اللهم اجعلنا دعاة إليك وإلى رسولك اللهم فقهنا في الدين وعلمنا القرآن الحكيم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم آت أنفسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها أما بعد The 15th sitin Another remedy and cure for pride The Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi said A cure for pride which is another cure for pride, is to recall the greatness of Allah, the kibr of Allah, the greatness of Allah, the glorified one. When one senses that he might succumb to pride, he must surely do that. But it is better if he finds time for that at least once every day. One remedy for pride is that a person must recall the might and the greatness of Allah, Allahu Akbar, and recognize his own weakness, in fact, nothingness. He must also recall the answer a saintly person gave to an arrogant man. An arrogant man asks the saint, the wali of Allah, "Do you not know who I am?" The saint, the wali, replied, "I know who you are. Your reality is described thus. Awwaluka nutfatun qadiratun. You began as a dirty sperm. That's your first state and condition. Wa akiruka jifatun qadiratun. And your end stage will be a dirty corpse. Wa anta fima بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذِرَةَ And in the intervening period, you are just a carrier of filth. That's who you are. أَوَّلُكَ نُطْفَةٌ قَذِرَةٌ وَآخِرُكَ جِيفَةٌ قَذِرَةٌ وَأَنْتَ فِي مَا بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ وَأَنْتَ فِي مَا بَيْنَ ذَٰلِكَ تَحْمِلُ الْعَذِرَةَ The skin conceals. Allah has concealed man's faults through his hide, through his skin. If the hide is peeled off at some point, it will reveal impurity inside. Blood, pus, urine, and excreta will come out of the opening. The whole body has impurities filled in it. But Allah has concealed this defect with the hide, which covers up the impurities. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, when you think highly of yourself, think of this fact a little. Think how you began and how you will end. And reflect upon the greatness of Allah and the nothingness of oneself. Another remedy for pride. Imagine how you relieve yourself. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, I will give you another helpful prescription. When you feel inflated, imagine how you sit down to relieve yourself. What is your condition then? Is it majestic? all your pride will come to nil. You will come to know what your reality is. Nevertheless, one should recall the greatness and might of Allah and one's own nothingness. He should ask himself, on what do I take pride? What is it that I may be proud of and boast about? Nothing belongs to me, and I have collected nothing on my own strength. Whatever I have, I cannot retain myself and all that has been bestowed upon me. Yet another cure. The Mawlana also said, another element of remedy is that he should intentionally do those things which are commonly recognized as disgraceful and lowly. Indeed, other modes of treatment are insufficient without this. In other words, he should intentionally do such things which people generally regard as very humble and ignoble. He should perform them as a means of remedy, as indeed the companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, did. Remedy employed by Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyiduna Umar radiallahu anhu once wore a very graceful robe and delivered the khutbah. It was a grand robe and looked very good on him. After some time, he took it off and carried a water skin on his back, delivering water to the people. Someone asked him why he did that, and he said, I had a feeling of greatness, which I now counter and ward off with this deed. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu as governor. Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu was engaged in teaching and had no interest in politics. Once he was appointed governor of Bahrain to fill the place of the regular governor who had gone on leave. By nature, Abu Huraira was a saintly person, and all his life he had been occupied in teaching hadith, which involved qala Allahu wa qala Rasul, Allah said, the messenger said. But as governor, he had to devote all his daytime to official work. In the evening, he placed a pile of wood on his head and walked through the market, calling out, make way, the Amirul Mu'mineen is passing. In this way, he drew the attention of the people to him that the governor was carrying wood. He did this work to prevent any idea of conceit in his mind. This was his cure for arrogance. Maulana Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh carried shoes of students. Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatul Alayh was known by the titles of Qutbul Irshad, Imam-e Waqt, and Abu Hanifa-e Asr, the Qutb, the Imam of the time, and the Abu Hanifa of this age and time. These were all the titles of Maulana Rashid Ahmad. Maulana Tanwir Rahmatullah Alayhi has written about him in Arwahi Thalatha. Once Maulana Rashid was teaching his students when it began to rain. So he asked the students to go into the classroom, and they picked up their books and went into the classroom. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi collected the shoes of the students and took them inside so that they may not become wet from the rain. He picked up the shoes of the students for two reasons. One of these was to prevent his becoming proud, even in a slight way. The second reason was that when a man employs that remedy, his nafs becomes pure and enlightened. The result is that he does not find it extraordinary that he should pick up the shoes of his pupils. He becomes accustomed to that because he employs that remedy. So the nafs becomes pure and enlightened. The result of the enlightened nafs is that he does not find it extraordinary that he should pick up the shoes of his pupils. It becomes part of his routine, part of his routine. Maulana Tanwi's advice to Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi, rahmatullah alayh, Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, once visited Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, known as Hakimul Ummah. Maulana Nadwi rahmatullah alayh was known all over India for his learning. He was the author of Siratul Nabi and a great scholar. He was also well known in the political field. He said, as I was taking leave of Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, I requested him to offer some advice to me. Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh has said about this request, I prayed to Allah, Ya Allah, he is a great scholar, and asks me to give him advice. Ya Allah, inspire me with an advice that I might give it to him and it might be beneficial to him. So suddenly it came to my heart that there is only one thing throughout, and that is to lose our identity. To lose our identity, to surrender ourselves. Maulana Nadwi Rahmatullah Alayhi said that while saying that, Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi jerked his hand. That jerk actually gave a message to my heart, and a condition of lament and weeping took over me. Maulana Dr. Abdul Hai, who is the Sheikh of Maulana Taqi Usmani Rahmatullah Alayhi, has said, Maulana Nadwi gave himself up completely after that. He gave himself up completely. I have seen very few examples of such a great scholar giving himself up in that manner. In fact, I saw him once arranging in order the shoes of the people in Maulana Thanwi's assembly, rahmatullah alayh. Maulana Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullah alayh said, once Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh was engaged in writing while Maulana Nadwi could not see him, and he cast a fixed glance on Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh, until I approached him from the rear and asked him why he was standing there. He came out of his trance and told me that he was not doing anything. But when I insisted, he said, all my life, that which I considered to be knowledge, Maulana Nadwi is saying, all my life, that which I considered to be knowledge, and indeed he was a great alim, turned out to be just ignorance. The sciences are with this man indeed. The sciences are with this man indeed, referring to Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullah alayh. Then Allah granted Maulana Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh a maqam, a station, about which Maulana Thanwi rahmatullah alayh composed this poetry. Anyway, one has to give up oneself, and only then does one receive something. One has to give up oneself, and only then does he receive something. Forget your own self if you want a rank. Forget your own self if you want a rank. When the seed is lost in dust, it blooms into greenery. When the seed is lost in dust, it blooms into greenery. This means that one does not attain such stations unless he undergoes vigorous training at someone's place. Let him perform his deeds under the supervision of a sheikh. The humbleness of the Mufti-e-Azam rahmatullah alayh. At one time, the clinic of Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullah alayh was at Robson Road, and my respected father's house was at a little distance from it. Maulana Dr. Abdul Hay rahmatullah alayha said, one day I was sitting in my clinic and some people were sitting with me. The doctor used to treat those with physical ailment and also those with spiritual ailments because he was a caliph of Maulana Thanwi and the sheikh of Mufti Taqi Usmani. He continues to say, soon my eyes fell on the Honorable Mufti, Rahmatullah Ali, on the road, carrying in his hands a vessel full of milk. I thought about it. The Mufti Azam, that is my father, of course, carrying the vessel on the road. I asked the people around me if they knew who he was, but they did not know him. I told them that he was the Mufti Azam of Pakistan, the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, carrying a vessel of milk in his hand as any common man, the humblest of Mufti Azam, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh. Never had lofty impressions. Allah had granted my respected father, Rahmatullah Alayh, Mufti Shafi, such a station of humility that I have rarely not come across another man of such humbleness, says his son Mufti Taqi. A man forces himself to observe humility, but there was no such thing with him, for he had it firmly rooted in his mind that he was nothing, one who had no reality. He never conceived himself in his mind as a man of some importance. And he never hesitated to perform the most menial of tasks. I had seen him myself that he bought potatoes, carried them home in the fold of his shirt. Maulana Madani's advice to the Honorable Mufti. One day at Dioband, he was going in this manner, that is my father, going in this manner to buy milk, carrying a utensil in his hand. Maulana Hussein Ahmad Madani, Rahmatullah Alayhi, saw him. The next day when he went to the Darul Uloom Dioband, Maulana Madani, Rahmatullah Alayhi, said to him, listen, brother, Maulvi Shafi, Allah has granted you great humbleness of character. But do not practice it to an extreme extent because you are now a mufti at the Darul Uloom. And if you act in that way, sometimes one loses respect in the eyes of the common man. So do not behave that much humbly. But my respected father, Rahmatullah Alayhi, always considered himself as nothing. So why should he be mindful of what should be done and what should not be done? Allah had granted him that high station of humility. Walk barefooted sometimes. The Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi used to say, you must walk barefooted sometimes. And at times, you must arrange the shoes of other people in order. Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in Arwahi Thalatha, when Maulana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayhi detected pride in a student, he assigned him the task of arranging the shoes of the students in proper order outside the classrooms every day. And when Maulana noticed that the student had no fault, he himself placed that student's shoes right and straight. Perform disgraceful tasks when the sheikh instructs. The little tasks which are generally thought to be dishonorable should not be done on one's own accord, but only on the instructions of the sheikh. For if done on one's own, then sometimes the conduct grows arrogance and the mind gets worse than before. So it should be done before the eyes of the sheikh and his instructions should be observed. A man had read in a book that one can rid oneself of arrogance by arranging shoes of other people in straight order. So when he came to my father's assembly, He set shoes of other people in order. My respected father forbid him to do it. He then explained why he had disallowed him to arrange shoes in order. He said, this man's condition is such that if he did that, he would grow more arrogant. He will think I have become so humble that I arrange shoes of other people in order. Therefore, he used to say that one should conduct oneself under proper supervision. A difference between pride and thanks. The Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi said, to boast about a blessing is pride. To boast about a blessing is pride. But to regard it as a ni'mat and gift of Allah, and to be mindful of one's own worthlessness and ability is thanks. That's the difference between pride and thanks. To boast about a blessing is pride, but to regard it as a grant of Allah and to be mindful of one's own worthlessness and inability is thanks. We have stated before that the best remedy of the illness of arrogance is to thank Allah frequently. One of the best remedies, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, hadha minka ya Allah. It is to form a habit of thanking Allah for His blessings. This is what the Mawlana Rahmatullah Alayhi has stressed in his above saying. It is pride to boast on receiving a blessing, so that one regards oneself as better than others and others as inferior. However, to consider oneself as unworthy of the blessing which Allah has bestowed simply through His favor is to express thanks. And this thanks is the remedy of pride. Mention of blessing. This is what is known as tahdithi ni'mat, which comes in the hadith. And the Quran mentions, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. As for the ni'mat of your Rabb, let people know about it. Proclaim it. The blessings of Allah are mentioned to remember that Allah has bestowed on His slave these favors. Not only is this not arrogance, but also it is worship. But to mention one's own greatness and describe one of his characteristics is arrogance, and it is a grave sin. These sins of the internal nature are very fine and imperceptible. Their limits are not easily distinguished. Take tahdithi ni'mah, for instance, proclaiming the bounties of your Rabb. If man describes one of his characteristics as tahdithi ni'mah, or confirms a blessing of Allah and its grant to him, then he engages in worship, and that's good. He confirms a blessing of Allah. He describes it. That is tahdithi ni'mat. He knows it's from Allah. He lets people know that. But if he expresses the same thing to disclose his own greatness, then it is a grave sin, a very thin line between them. In spite of this theoretical definition, it is not within everyone's powers to draw a line of distinction between the two. The command of tahdithi ni'mah. Tahdithi ni'mah is that which Allah commanded His Messenger to observe. He said, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And as for the ni'mat and blessing of your Lord, proclaim it. Let people know it. Show it to people. Proclaim them before people. Tell them that Allah has given you these blessings. It was as part of tahdithi ni'mah that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned many things. At one time he would say, Ana sayyidu wuldi Adam. I am the chief and the head of all the children of Adam. Wala faqra, and there is no pride and boast in that. This is tahdithi ni'mah, that Allah has granted me this station. But that it should not happen that tahdithi ni'mah should encroach unto the frontiers of pride. So he added immediately, wala faqra, there is no faqr, there is no boast about it, which should belittle other people. It's not my intention to belittle other people. Observe that the Nabi Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recalls the blessings granted to him in abiding by the commands for tahdithi ni'mah. But there is a fear that the limits of pride might be intruded into, so he added immediately, wala faqra, and I don't boast. A sign of tahdithi ni'mah. There is a token and a sign of tahdithi ni'mah, and it is that the head bows down to a greater extent. The head bows down. Humility grows and one becomes more humble and helpless before Allah. For man confesses to Allah, I did not deserve this blessing and was helpless in procuring it by myself, but you have bestowed it on me through your mercy and favor. This sentiment promotes greater humbleness, and this is a sign of tahdithi ni'mah. The Prophet's humbleness on the conquest of Makkah, this was tahdithi ni'mah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered Makkah as a fatih, conqueror. It was the city whose inhabitants had compelled him to emigrate to Medina. They had conspired to slay him. They were the ones who placed thorns in his path, threw filth on him, and threw stones at him. He entered their city after only 8 days as a conqueror. If anyone else had entered as a conqueror, he would have puffed up his chest, raised his neck high, and called out, Ana, yes, me. Wala gairi, none besides me. Ana, wala gairi, I and none else. But the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the city Makkah. His head bowed down so low that his chin almost touched his chest. His head bowed down so low that his chin almost touched his chest. Tears rolled down his eyes. His tongue recited these verses of the Holy Quran. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min dambika wa ma ta'akkar wa yutimma ni'matahu alayk wa yahdiyaka siratan mustaqima. Surely we have granted you, O Nabi, a manifest victory, that Allah may forgive you of your faults, that which is past and that which is to come, and may perfect His blessing upon you, and may guide you on the straight way. Reciting these verses, tears in his eyes, head bent down so much that his chin is almost touching his chest. This is tahdithi ni'mah. By reciting these verses, he remembers the blessings of Allah. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. Ya Allah, you have granted me this fatah, this victory. And the remembrance grows a sense of helplessness and humility. There is a greater leaning towards Allah in tahdithi ni'mah. There is a greater leaning towards Allah. This is the sign of tahdithi ni'mah. The sign of arrogance now, the sign of arrogance is that the neck is raised high, the chest is puffed up, and man considers himself superior to other people whom he regards with disdain. The smallest sign is that he imagines in his mind that he is superior to other people. That's the smallest sign. He imagines in his mind that he is superior to other people. It is not easy to demarcate a distinguishing line between tahdithi ni'mah and arrogance. It is here that a shaykh is needed. He tells us, the blessing that you mention is not tahdithi ni'mah, a recollection of blessings, but you know, it is arrogance. Although you call it tahdithi ni'mah, it is arrogance and an act of the devil. An incident in the life of Maulana Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi. Those people whom Allah has enabled to supervise their nafs, they examine their nafs at every step, lest it veer away from the straight path. I heard my Sheikh, Mufti Taqiyya, say, Dr. Abdul Hay, Rahmatullah Alayh, relate this incident from the life of Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh. Once Maulana Thanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, was delivering a sermon in the masjid to a very large congregation. He had thrown himself in the speech, enlightening the audience with deep, deep knowledge. While speaking, he remembered something and said, I tell you of something as part of Tahdeesi Ni'mah, that you will hear it from me alone. You will not hear it from anyone else. He had not yet said what he intended to say, but bowed down his head immediately and said, Astaghfirullah. What is it that I said? I called it Tahdeesi Ni'mah, but it is arrogance. Speaking about myself, I seek forgiveness of Allah. Astaghfirullah. Ya Allah, forgive me. Only He can do it, who has a gauge in Him, which examines every expression to ensure that it does not exceed limits. Only He can do it, who has a gauge in Him, which examines every expression to ensure that it does not exceed limits. Such a great man confessed that while he called it Tahdeesi Ni'mah, it bordered on arrogance, and that too also in public before everybody. Then how do we stand? How many times may we have misnamed arrogance on our part as Tahdeesi Ni'mah? Increase in blessings causes increased devotion to Allah. Understand this. Therefore, we must bear in mind the symbol and the sign of Tahdeesi Ni'mah, the alamat, to see if we develop a sense of helplessness. Check and see if we develop a sense of helplessness and humility and turn to Allah more frequently. If these signs are present, then that is Tahdeesi Ni'mah. Indeed, it is a sign of the mu'min that the more the blessings are showered on him, the more he bows down before Allah in sijda. The realization dawns on him that he is nothing. He recognizes himself as worthless, a worthless slave, totally helpless. He is a slave of Allah, and he realizes that on every blessing of Allah, he calls out, Ya Allah, I did not deserve this blessing which you have granted me through your mercy. Thus, the more the blessings he receives, the more he turns to Allah. Sayyiduna Sulaiman ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, and gratitude for blessings. Allah had showered innumerable blessings on Sayyiduna Dawood and his offspring, Sayyiduna Sulaiman ala nabina wa alayhi musallatu wassalam. Sulaiman alayhi salam was granted such a vast kingdom which none else has been given in the history of mankind, and none else will ever receive in the future. Nobody was given that in the history of mankind, and none else will receive in future. Sulaiman alayhi salam had sovereignty over the jinns, the beasts, the birds, the atmosphere, and the wind. Having given that, Allah said, Ya'malu ala Dawood ashukra wa qalilum min ibadiyya ash-shakur. O household of Dawood, O Al of Dawood, work you with thanks, be grateful. Work you with thanks, and few of my servants are grateful. It is found in a hadith that Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam had resolved that there would not be a moment in 24 hours when one or the other of his household would not be engaged in mentioning Allah and thanking Him. يَمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. He had apportioned time among his family members when they should devote themselves to remember Allah. Observe, just as he is being favored with blessings, so too he turns to Allah in worship and devotion. And Dawood alayhi salam prays. This is the dua of Dawood. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya. O Allah, give me the tawfiq to do gratitude and show gratitude of your ni'mat. Rabbi awzi'ni an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya, which you have bestowed upon me. Wa ala walidayya, and upon my parents. Wa ana amala salihan tarda, and to do good righteous actions which you will be pleased with. Wa adkhilni bi rahmatika fi ibadika salihin, and enter me by your rahmat and mercy amongst the pious righteous slaves. In short, it is the peculiarity of a believer that with every fresh blessing, his sense of helplessness and humility multiplies and he devotes himself to Allah increasingly. Dawood alayhi salam had resolved that there would not be a moment in 24 hours when one or the other of his household would not be engaged in mentioning Allah and thanking him. The peculiarity of the wicked on the other side is the wicked person whose haughtiness intensifies with every new blessing. This is the other side of the coin. It's the wicked person whose haughtiness intensifies with every fresh new blessing. He becomes more oppressive and tyrannical. The poet, the great Mutanabbih, alayhi rahmah, also said some wise things. So he said, إِذَا أَنْتَ أكرمت الكريم ملكته وإن أنت أكرمت اللئيم تمرد. إذا أنت أكرمت الكريم, if you should show ikram and respect to a noble man, ملكته, you will own him, you will be his master, because he is so noble, he will be indebted to you. And he will have you in his mind and he will be a slave to you. وَإِنْ أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ اللَّئِيمِ, and if you should show respect to an ignoble person, تَمَرَّدَ, he will become more shaitanic. That is, if you respect a noble man and deal with him kindly, then you will win his heart and he will become your slave. He is so noble. This is because the noble man will never forget your favors, so that you will become his master and he your slave. But if you respect a wicked man who, being wicked, did not deserve your favors, you will spoil him further and he will become more rebellious, more rebellious. إِذَا أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ الْكَرِيمِ مَلَكْتَهُ وَإِنْ أَنْتَ أَكْرَمْتَ اللَّئِيمْ تَمَرَّدَ. The same applies to man. If as a result of blessings that he receives in increasing numbers, he bows down his head before Allah more and more, it is a sign that he is a grateful slave of Allah. Further, if he proclaims the blessing saying, Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr, he proclaims that fearing the while that he might display arrogance and pride, then it should be understood that he abides by the command of tahdis ni'mah. However, if he follows up receipt of blessings with a raised chin, looking upwards, and proclaims his own greatness, describing himself in lofty terms, then though he may call that tahdis ni'mah, yet that is not anything other than arrogance. The need of a sheikh. This was the symbol of tahdis ni'mah. But a man cannot by himself define his conduct as such. So he needs a sheikh. Whenever he proclaims a blessing, he should disclose to his sheikh that he had mentioned the blessings on such and such occasion. He should ask him if he had transgressed the limits or stayed within them. The sheikh will inform him how far he had been correct and at what point he stepped into wrong. If he reports himself to the sheikh anywhere near 20 times and abides by his corrective measures, then he will develop a recognition of the correct limit. Then he will know it by himself and distinguish tahdith ni'mah from arrogance. May Allah enable us to abide by these teachings. Allahumma ameen. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care. This is who I am, this is me. Nothing, everything, can't you see?